Okay, good morning. So today's daf is daf samuch. We're going to pick up at the bottom of Nuntasim based on the last line, the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Ein ma'arvin peros beperos." We don't mix peros with other peros. Afilu chadashim bechadashim. Even new ones with new ones. Rashi explains what are we talking about here. That someone had a field and they made up with someone, "I'm going to sell you such and such amount of grain or whatever it is from this field." Then you cannot substitute from other fields, even if it's a comparable nature of the product. Because if you committed to sell it from a particular place, you can't add in other things. And the Mishnah continues and says, The Mishnah continues and says, "V'ein tzarech lomer chadashim b'yishanim." You surely cannot mix new with old. So here we're speaking specifically about grain or some kind of grain. Why? Because as follows, that basically if you had grain, if it was already dried out, that you could use it, it would make more flour out of that grain if it's dry than if it's wet. If it's wet, you could take the time to dry it out and then it would make more. So here, if someone negotiated to buy old grain, which would make more flour, then obviously you can't mix in new grain with it. Now Rashi says the implication though is that if you made up to sell him chadashim, if you made up to sell him new wheat, which produces less flour, then if he wants, he can mix in old flour because that's only making it better for him. Be'emes amru, in truth they said, and the Gemara is going to talk about what does that phrase mean. It says be'yayin hetiru la'arev kasha barach, that when we're talking about wine, that even if you made up to sell him a certain kind of, weaker wine, you can mix in stronger wine. Why can you do that? Because you're only making it better. So therefore, obviously, if you made up to buy strong wine, you can't mix in weak wine because you want a strong wine. But if he's buying weak wine, which is evidently objectively and inherently less valuable than strong wine, he can mix in a strong wine with it, because he's only making things better. The Mishnah continues, "Ein ma'arvin shimre yayin b'yayin, avon nosen lo ashmarav." So the Gemara is going to say these seem to be inherently contradictory. It says you cannot mix wine sediment with wine, but you can put in sediment. So the Gemara is going to try and figure out what what exactly does the Mishnah mean when it says these contradictory things. The Mishnah continues, "Mishin is arev mayim b'yeno." That if what happens if someone put water into his wine, that was the nature of how they used to do in those days, is they would dilute wine. But once someone diluted it, lo yim karena b'chanus, you cannot sell it in a chanus. Just means Rashi says pruta, meaning you can't sell it, to your friends. Here's a cup of wine. Here's a cup of wine. Ella im kein hodio. Unless you let him know, this is diluted wine, I'm selling you. I'm going to sell you a cup, it's a dollar. As long as you tell him that it's diluted, that's fine. So you're allowed to sell it, to people on a one-off basis. Below the tagar, but you can't sell it to a tagar as a merchant. But in this case, it means whether he's a wholesaler or a retailer, it doesn't matter. It means someone who's not buying it for himself, but he's selling it to other people. Him, you cannot sell it to, afal pi shehodio, even though you tell him. So you can't go to the guy in the store and say, "Here's my wine, it's diluted, you want to buy it?" You're not allowed to sell it to him. Why? It's almost like some kind of lifnaiver, misayelo de over avero, because it says, she'eno elo l'ram ispo. Because what's he going to do with it? He's going to sell it in his store, and he's not going to tell people. And then they're going to be ripped off. So essentially, in some fashion, and the Gemara is going to discuss how far do you go with this, but in some fashion, you're enabling him to rip off people, because by giving him diluted wine, when you know that he's a wine seller, he's going to sell it to people, and it's possible or likely that he's not going to tell people. Okay, Mishnah continues. Makom, however, we just finished saying you can't mix in, you can't dilute the wine, but makom shenagu lahato mayim biyayin yatilo. If we're in a place that people are noheg to put water into their wine, then you're entitled to do that. In other words, it's not an absolute prohibition. What you're picking up here in the Mishnah is that everything has to do with the expectation of the purchasers. So if people are expecting something or they're notified of something, that's okay. Or if you're making things better for them, in other words, but everything, you have to look at their circumstance and figure out, are they being misled here? So therefore, in a place where that's the custom, that they put water into the wine, you can do that. Hatagar, a merchant, and again, this just this in this case could be a wholesaler or even a retailer, but it says Hatagar, a merchant, notame he granos venosim latoch megura achas. We talked about the fact that you can't mix before new and old or things from one field from another field. It's saying someone who's a merchant can collect from five different producers of whatever this crop is, and he sticks it all into one storage area. Even though it's not all of consistent quality, you're allowed to do that and sell it. Why? Because people don't assume, when you walk into a Walmart, you don't assume that they produced everything that they're selling. You know, they're a retailer. They buy from many suppliers. And therefore, you know, buyers understand that the level of quality might be different. And he's selling me something that came from multiple places. So again, it goes to buyers' expectations. Mehe Gito, similarly, you could... a merchant can buy from five gitos as a wine press, and just like Goron Rashi explains, because that's where farmers used to sell their things. They would make grapes or wheat, and they would take it to the threshing floor or to the wine press place, and they would press it there and then sell it to retailers or wholesalers. So therefore, he could go to five different wine press places and buy things v'notin l'toch pitom and put it all into one barrel. In other words, because people don't expect anything different. Let's talk pitom echad into one barrel. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, "Obavad shelo yehem iskaven la'arev," as long as he doesn't intend to mix. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains that if someone picked up the custom of having very high quality merchandise or wine or whatever it is, and therefore people, he didn't promise them that that's what it was, but that was his reputation or expectation, he can't then start to go and buy smaller quantities of junky stuff and mix it in with his high quality product, because people expect from him already a certain high level of quality. So in other words, again, all of this is you don't want to sell something to a purchaser who thinks he's getting something else. So if he has reason to think you have high quality, you can't mix in low quality. But if he has no expectations, that's the case where you could buy from five different farmers, and you mix it all together, and it's out of uneven quality, but that's what people expect. Okay, so the Gemara continues at Samach Amud Aleph at the beginning of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Tzarech Lomar. So we talked about in the beginning of the Mishnah said that you can't mix new with old. So, and we said because new is in a certain sense less valuable. Why? Because old grain that's dried out gets a greater volume of flour than an equivalent number of stalks of new grain. So Tanna Rabbanan, we learned, Ein tzarech lomer chadashos me'arba v'yishonosh mishalosh. Not only is it true when chadashos me'arba that the new stuff is four and the old stuff is three, what does this mean? That for a sella, or whatever denomination, say a dollar, because we know dollars, if you used to be able to get four sa, if the new stuff is four saw for a dollar and the old stuff is three saw for a dollar, so then the three saw is more expensive than the four saw. In other words, because if you get more merchandise for the same price, then that's cheaper. So therefore, he's saying for certain, if the new grain sells for 25 cents a saw a fourth, and the old grain sells for 33 cents. So therefore, if he was buying old, that was the case in the Mishnah. If he was buying old grain, and that old grain costs 33 cents a saw, and you put in new grain that's 25 cents a saw for sure, in that case you're ripping him off. He wanted to buy something valuable, and you're giving him something less valuable. So that's obvious. But the chadashos me'arba v'yishonosh mishalosh in ma'arvin, that we don't mix it. Ela afilu chadashos mishalosh v'yishonosh me'arba in ma'arvin. He says, but even in a case where new grains are 33 cents a saw and the old grains are 25 cents a saw, and he was buying old grain, so he was buying the cheaper thing, and you're going to give him the more expensive, in this case we're not going to allow him to do that. Why? We're not going to allow him to mix, even though he's putting in something more expensive. Because we're going to try to explain as follows, that a person wants to dry them out. What is this saying? Why is it? We just finished saying before that old grain is better than new grain, right? So, therefore, but yet the Gemara is now talking about a case where old grain sells for less, it's 25 cents, than new grain, 33 cents. So why would that be? Obviously, because you have a differential in quality, right? So if they're paying more for new grain than old grain, it's because the new grain is a higher quality grain. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, why would anyone buy new grain? Because they're going to wait for it to dry out. They're going to buy it now. They're willing to wait the amount of time for it to dry out, and then they'll make it into flour, because then not only once it dries out do they get a higher volume of flour, but it's higher quality. So when a person is buying new that's more expensive than old, it's because it's of such good quality that they're willing to wait, right? But the problem is, here is as follows. Even though you're saying, oh, he asked me for old, which is 25 cents, and I'm giving him new, which is 33 cents, the problem is the guy wanted the grain, obviously, by not wanting the new and waiting, is because he wanted his grain, he wanted his flour right now. So the point just is, we said in the Mishnah, that if someone negotiated for new, you can give him old, that's as long as you're helping him. But in this case, it's obvious that the fact that he asked for old is because he wants his grain right now. So it's not, and so we said before, you could give someone something more expensive when they order something less expensive. That's true, but not if you're giving him something that doesn't suit his purposes right now. And this guy is seeking old because he wants flour right now. He doesn't want to get new that he then has to wait in order to get the value of that better quality flour by waiting for it to dry. Okay, again, same concept we're seeing over and over, that you have to meet the expectations of the buyer. So the Mishnah said, "Ba'amas amru." In truth, they said, "Be'yayin etu la'ariv kasha barach mipneishu mashpicho." They said that with wine, you can mix in, even though if someone ordered weak wine, you can mix in heavier wine because you're only making it better. Amr Rabbi Lazar said, "Ada amra." This is to say, "Kol be'emes amru halachahi." That any time it says be'emes amru, in truth they said, halachahi, it's an absolute law. And Rashi says, in legam game, you shouldn't think about it, or it's just a straight law. How do you see it? So this is our Mishnah as the source for any time it says be'emes amru, because in throughout Mishnah, because what happened here? We said be'emes amru, in truth they said, that with wine you can mix in stronger into weaker, but not weaker into stronger. Why? Because you're making it better. You're only making the wine better. So, right? So therefore, the Mishnah stated something, followed by giving what's essentially an unassailable reason. Meaning, for sure, if you're making it better, you can do it. So therefore, we learn that Be'emes Amru is, anytime it says Be'emes Amru, even if it doesn't give you the explanation, it means there is an explanation, that there's nothing to argue about, and therefore you should just accept it. So that's what it means. Be'emes Amru halachahi, that's a halacha. Amru of Nachman. So now getting to the particular halacha that we learned, that you can mix in stronger wine with weaker wine because you're making it better. Of Nachman says, Ben Agito Shanu. This is provided that you did it at the stage that people were pressing their wine. So how did it work? You would press the wine, you would put it into barrels in order to ferment it. So if you wanted to mix a Syrah with a Viognier or something like this, the grapes, right? As long as you do it before it ferments, that's fine, because it comes together to become a mix. But if you were to take, the bottles of wine that have already been finished and you mix them together, they don't taste the same as when you ferment them together. When you ferment them together, they assume a character. And whereas if you would do it once they're finished, the fermentation process, you're actually making it worse. The Gemara says, "I v'ha'idna to kama avi shalom ben agitas." But what about nowadays? It seems that the sellers, in fact, take finished wine that's already fermented and they mix them with each other. So how do you explain the conduct of the people in the marketplace nowadays? Amar Papa. Amar Papa says, "The yad of a kamachli." We're talking about, and again, this goes back to what we said before. It's people's expectations. So if everyone knows that the merchants in this town mix the wine, so then that's what they expect. They're not expecting anything different, and therefore they're allowed to do it. That's one answer. Rav Acha Breda Raveka says, why is it that nowadays our merchants do mix it even though it's post-fermentation? So he says, Hamani, who is this? Rabbi Acha hi. It's Rabbi Acha. Desanya, because we learned, Rabbi Acha mater bedavar hanitam. What does this mean? Rabbi Acha is actually talking about a more extreme case. Rabbi Acha is talking about a case that if you're selling something to someone of a general quality, you can actually mix in something of a lesser quality. When does he say you could do that? If it's the type of thing that the custom of people is to taste it before they buy it. Why? Because at the end of the day, why are you buying wine? For the taste. So if you're going to mix in something lesser quality, as long as he's going to taste it and say, this tastes fine, So then he knows what he's getting, and he's buying something with distaste, and it's fine. The fact that you mixed in a lesser quality with a higher quality doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, he's not buying based on his generalized expectations of what you're selling. He's buying based on having tasted it. He said, that tastes good, I like it, and I'm willing to pay $5 for a barrel of it. So that's fine, that's Rebacha's opinion. So that's the explanation for why nowadays, in the Gemara's nowadays, that if it was the custom of that area that people mixed things, it was okay, because it was also a type of place where people tasted before they bought, and therefore, according to Rebacha, it's okay. Now, we talked about in the Mishnah, it said what seemed to be two contradictory statements. It said, Ve'im ma'ar v'n shimer yayin b'yayin, we don't mix wine sediment with wine, avonosin lo shmar, but we could put in its sediment. So they seemed contradictory. The Gemara says, Vaha amrit resha, how could you tell me you could mix in its sediment? We said in the resha, Ve'im ma'ar v'n kla, we don't mix sediment with wine at all. So the Gemara says, V'chi teiman, if you're going to tell me, my avol nosin lo shmarav, what is the second part of the mission that says you can put in sediment mean, the kamoy dalei, that maybe it means that the first part says we don't mix wine sediment with wine if you don't tell him, but we do mix it if you do tell him. Maybe that's a good distinction. The Gemara says no. Because Hamid Diktani Seifa, because we learned later on in our Mishnah, Loyim Karena Bachanus, we're talking now about if someone has diluted wine, you shouldn't sell it to your friends, Elam Kain Modio, sell it to an end user unless you let him know. Velola Tagar, but you can't sell it to a merchant, Afal Pisha Modio, even though you do let him know, we said because you're going to mislead. So what do you see? You see that our Mishnah was perfectly capable of distinguishing between whether someone knew or didn't know. But it only made that distinction later when we were talking about diluted wine. It did not make that distinction when we were talking about mixing in wine sediment. So it can't be that the inconsistency that the first part is saying if you didn't tell him, and the second part is saying if you did tell him, because if that was the distinction, the Mishnah could have said it, just like it said it shortly in the next case. So that's not the answer. So how do you explain Michlal de Reisha Afagav de Loimar Delay? The fact that it doesn't distinguish implies that the first statement is even if he didn't tell him. So you can't say, Michlal de Reisha, that in this part of the Mishnah, it's saying even though you didn't notify him. So the explanation is not a question of notification. So rather, what is the reason why it initially seems to say you cannot mix sediment at all, and in the latter part it seems you can mix sediment? Rav Yehuda Halki Kamer, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Ein ma'arvin shmarim shel emesh b'shel yom v'lo shel yom b'shel emesh. You can't mix the sediment from yesterday's wine with today's wine, or today's wine with yesterday's wine. Avonosin lo eshmarav. You can mix in it its sediment. So what are we saying? It doesn't literally mean yesterday and today. It just means the following. That if I have one barrel of wine and I pour off the wine and I'm left with the sediment, I cannot mix that sediment with wine that came from a different barrel. Why? Because you're ruining it. You're making it have the sediment of one barrel with the wine of another barrel. But if I pour off the wine and now there's sediment left and then I want to put the sediment into the wine, that's fine because you're not ruining it. It came from the same place. It was part of the same barrel. So therefore, the first part that said you don't mix it was talking about you don't mix sediment of one wine with wine of another barrel. And when it said you can mix sediment, it's saying you can mix sediment as long as the sediment originally came from that same wine. So if you poured off the wine and then you later add the sediment, that's okay. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned this way also in a Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ashofa Yayin L'Chavero. Someone who's pouring off, it's kind of like sometimes if you don't have a strainer, you kind of pour off the liquid, but keep the stuff on the bottom. That's Shofa Yayin. So he's pouring off wine to his friend. Hareza lo Ya'arv Shal Emesh B'Shal Yom. He shouldn't mix yesterday's wine with today's. Lo Shal Yom B'Shal Emesh, not today's with yesterday's. Just meaning you shouldn't mix different barrels. Avo Ma'arv Shal Emesh B'Shal Emesh. You can mix yesterday's sediment with yesterday's wine, v'shoyom, and today's sediment with today's wine, as long as it came from the same barrel. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah Esarev Mayim Biyeno Harez Eliyam Kirena Bachanos Ela Imkain Modio. So we said, if you've diluted the wine, you can sell it to a end user as long as you notify him that it was diluted, but you cannot sell it to someone who's in turn going to sell it to others because he's going to rip them off. So Rava Aisi Lechamra Mechanusa. So they brought to Rava some wine from a store. So what did, as we said, that in those days people would dilute their wine. So Mazge, he diluted it. Tame, he tasted it. Lehavi Basim, he didn't like it. He said, this isn't good. So Sadre Lechanusa. So he sent it back to the store. So what did he got undiluted wine, he diluted it, and then he gave it back to the store. So now, Amar Le Abaye said to him, "Hanantanan loy l'tagar afal pishadio," that you can't send it back to a merchant, even though he's going to tell, even though you tell him that it's diluted. Why? Because he's just going to take it and sell it to other people as undiluted wine, and meanwhile it's diluted wine, so you're causing him to rip off people. So they said to Rabbi, "How can you send it back to the store? Because the store is then going to go sell it as undiluted wine, and he's going to be ripping off people, and you'll be complicit in it." So Amar Le, Rabbi said to him, "Mizgadidi meida yade." Diluting, everyone knows. Why? Because Rava evidently didn't like strong wine, so he put in a lot of water. So like, if you see wine that like, you see a little, trace of red, because it's mostly water, you could tell. You look at it, that's not wine, that's water wine. Right? So Rava is saying that my level of dilution was such that anyone could tell by looking at it. But Enoch Inami, had he only diluted it a little bit, he would not have been able to send it back to the store because of the concern that the storekeeper would then sell it as undiluted wine. So now the Gemara says, but v'chitema, if you're going to tell me the tape umachayle umazbenle, but why not be worried? So what was Rava saying? Rava was saying, as long as I diluted it enough that people can tell, it's okay to send it back. But he says, maybe what the storekeeper is going to do is he's going to pour more wine in so that it's you can't really tell that it's diluted, but it's really diluted, and then he's going to sell it, and you're going to be complicit in causing him to rip off people. So the Gemara says, imkein ein ledavar sof. You can't work like that. There's no end. If you're going to assume that someone is going to doctor up the merchandise, that's not your responsibility. So Rashi says, like, imagine if you wanted to go to the extreme, you would say, no one could sell water to someone else. Why? Because maybe he's going to take your water, he's going to add in wine, he's going to sell it as diluted wine. You can't function like that. So there's a bright line, which is to say, if you give something to a merchant that he could, in that form, sell it, in a way that deceives the purchasers, then you shouldn't give it to him for that purpose. Meaning, diluted wine that you can't necessarily tell was diluted. But if it's sufficiently diluted that in order for him to rip off people, he would need to doctor it, that's not your responsibility. That's his responsibility. If he's going to do that, you could still send the diluted wine to him, and if he's going to doctor it, then he's going to doctor it. He's a thief, but it's not your fault. Okay, the Gemara continues, Makam Shinagu Lahata Mayim Biyayin Yatilo, that if it was a place where they were knowing to mix water in the wine, then you could mix water in the wine. Tana Lamesa Lashush Ravia. So the Tana learned that you could do it for half, for a third, for a quarter, meaning whatever was the minug of that place. So again, all of this goes to expectations of the purchaser. So if it was a place where they would do one-third water to two-thirds wine, you could do that. But if it was a place where they do one-third water to two-thirds wine, you can't do half and half. It just depends on the muck, on the place. Amar Rav, Rav says this, that you could add water, Ubenagita Shan, who was talking about at the pressing stage, meaning before you ferment it. But even in a place, and he's saying that they were knowing to mix in wine happened earlier. They didn't mix in wine at the end. Again, everything according to the minhag hamakom. Okay, the Mishnah, a few lines up from the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo yichalek hachen v'ni klayos ha'gozen l'tinoikos." Now this sounds almost counterintuitive. Rabbi Yehuda says that a storekeeper should not give out candies and nuts to the children. Mipnei shehum margilin lavo etzel, because then they're going to come to him. So you might say, okay, that's marketing 101. But this Tanakama of the Mishnah doesn't like it because he says, what's going to happen? They're going to come to you. They're not going to go to your competition. So you're causing other people to lose Parnassa. And so basically it seems that the Tanakama, as you're going to see throughout, seems to be that they feel like, you have a concept of that Saga's Gvul. You can't open right next door to someone. But to the extent that they are legitimate competitors, you should not be shifting the market dynamics on the basis of something other than your product, seems to be the view. The Chacham say you can do it. The Gemara is going to discuss why. Here's a more surprising one. You shouldn't lower your prices. Why? Because then people are going to come to you and not to your competitors. And that's a problem. The Chacham say, Zachar Latov, he'll be remembered for good. It's good to lower prices. Why? And we're going to see in the Mishnah, but basically you lower the prices in the marketplace. Lo yavar es agrisim. So this is saying as follows, that if you have this some kind of beans, that you can't sift off the husks. Why? Because then it looks much better. Divrei Abishol, these are the words Abishol, and they explain as follows. Because what's going to happen, let's say you have beans with husks, and it costs you $1 to sift them, right? But then it can sell for $5 more, because they look really nice. So the problem is you just did $1 worth of work, but now you're going to charge him $5 more. The guy's getting ripped off. He'd be better off doing it himself. So you can't make it look better And then charge much more without giving him that value. If you wanna get rid of the husks and sell it for a dollar more and it costs you a dollar more, fine. But according to Abishol, you can't improve your merchandise by doing a little bit of work that he could do himself and then charging him a lot more. V'cham matir, and the Chacham say you could do it. But the Chachamim are masking, umodim shalo yavar mi'alpi amagura, you cannot do, the Chachamim agree, that who say you can sift off the husks and charge him more. What you cannot do is have a big barrel worth of bad stuff, and then you put on the top nice looking stuff. And the Mefarshim explained that's true. Even if you tell him that the bottom is full of junk and the top is nice, because what does the Mishnah say? She'ena ela kegonav es ha'ayin, you're stealing his eye. Meaning that even if you tell him the rest of the stuff is junk, but you're showing him something that looks really nice, he's going to end up paying more even for the junk. So therefore, you cannot trick people that way. Okay? And along those lines, the Mishnah says, Eim afarkasin los ha'adam los ha'behemim los ha'kelim. You don't pretty up a person, is referring to an Eved Kenani who you're selling, or an animal, or kelim. In other words, the idea is something should look as good as it is. You shouldn't make things look better than they are. Okay, so the Rabbanan said that you can give out candies to the children so they should come. My time, I have the Rabbanan. What's the reason of the Rabbanan? And obviously, tastes have changed since Amoritic times, because he says, Darmalek, because the storekeeper, the Chacham said he could give out candies. Why? Because he'll say to his competitors complaining, you're taking all the customers, I give out nuts. V'at Polik Shiski, you should give out prunes. You'll get even more kids. I don't know. They used to like prunes. So in any event, they said that's not a problem. Let everyone, you know, try and bring as many customers as they want. You're welcome to do the same thing. The Mishnah says, well, Yifchas is a shahr, you shouldn't reduce prices. The Chum says, Zachar Latov, that's good. It's good to reduce prices. My time of the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan say it's good on the base? So what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, L'chora, the Tanakhama is right, that you're going to cause everyone's parnasa to go down by lowering prices, because they're going to have to, either they're going to lose customers to you, or they're going to have to match prices. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dekam Raviach Latara, that basically, Rashi explains that the wholesalers are going to have to reduce the prices, because if retailers come back and say, this guy started selling for less, I have to match him, now my margins are gone, I need you, the wholesaler, to sell it to me for less. And presumably the wholesaler goes to the farmer and gets it for less. So it's saying you're helping the marketplace by creating price competition. That's the Chacham's opinion. Okay, the Mishnah said, V'layavar Sagrisin, Devei Abishol said you can't get rid of those husks off the beans, and the Chacham said you can. Man Chacham, and who's the Chacham that says you can? Rabbi Acha, it's Rabbi Acha. Now remember, we had Rabbi Acha before who said that as long as you taste something, you could give him something lesser. Here, similar concept design. Rabbi Acha Yomer says, Mater B'davar Hanira. He says, if it's the kind of thing, before is if you could taste the difference, it's fine. Now it says if you could see the difference, Rabbi Acha's of the opinion, look, he knows. It only costs a dollar to get rid of the husks off beans. He's charging me $5 more. Okay, because he can see it. He says, I want to pay for nice looking beans. That's Rabbi Acha's opinion. Okay, Ein Mefarkas in Lois Adam, Lois Akelim. You don't pretty up a person or a behemoth or a kelim. Tanar Rabbanan, in Mesharbit, and it's a behemoth. We're not Mesharbit the behemoth. We'll see in a minute what that means. Ve'nochim b'kirbayim. We don't blow into the intestines to make it look better. And Rashi is helpful to tell us that we're not talking about blowing into an animal. We're talking about in the butcher shop. So if they sell intestines, I don't know, for kishka or whatever it is, you can't blow to make them look bigger or look nicer. Vein shornes habasar b'mayim, you can't soak meat in water. Rashi explains that because then it whitens it a little bit and that looks like fat, which is something people would pay for. And why would he do this? Because if the meat's in not good condition, so he soaks it a little bit, it gets, you don't see the imperfection so much. Okay, so you can't trick people by making something look better. My ain masharbit. Then what does it mean that you're not masharbit a behema? So masharbit is basically to make the hairs of the animal stand up. What's wrong with making the hairs of the animal stand up is that it makes the animal look bigger. And if the animal's bigger, people pay more for it. But obviously, no one wants to pay more for standing up hairs. They pay more for a bigger animal because it's more meat. So you're tricking people. So the Gemara says, there's a machlokas. Halchat Arguma, this is the explanation. Maya de Chizri. We're talking about, Rashi says, Mei Subin, which is water with some kind of bran or grain in it that would inflate the animal. In other words, it's very, at least for a period of time, makes the animal look bigger. And when it looks bigger, its flesh fills out and its hair stands up. So when it says hair standing up, it's really talking about making the animal expand a little bit. Ziri says the name of Kahana, something that's more direct in terms of making the hair stand up. Mizakfita, that you would comb the hair. So you'd comb the hair, the animal's hair would stand up, and then the animal looks bigger. Okay. Shmuel shor lemimra tumei lesarbala. Shmuel allowed them to put tumei. Rashi says are like little strings of silk around it. So he put like a tassel on the bottom of clothes, make the clothes look better. That was okay. Rabbi Yehuda shara lekaskuse karme. That Rabbi Yehuda would allow, again, this is Mesubin, similar thing. I guess they used it to blow up animals. They also used it to essentially starch something. So he would say you could starch karmi. Karmi, Rashi says, are begadim amatsuyarin, like decorated or embroidered, decorated clothing. So basically you could starch the clothing and make it look nicer. That's not misleading anyone. You're just making your product look appealing. Rabba shari lemedak tzardeh. Rabba allowed them to... So Rashi says, a hadek big day canvas b'makbos eitz, that they would hit canvas with wooden sticks, sheyira chutin dak. That way it would help the fibers. I don't know, canvas we have doesn't have fibers, but in those days it was a less refined form of canvas. It had fibers, so you could hit the canvas with a stick to make the fibers stand up a little bit. Rava shari letzalume giri. That Rava said you can paint arrows. So if you sell arrows, you can paint them. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Charlotte Salumi Dikule. That Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said that you could paint baskets, like a woven baskets. So all of these things are different things you could do to pretty something up. So the Gemara asked, "V'ha nan tanan?" We learned in our Mishnah, "Ein mefarkasin los adam los abehemav los akelim." We don't pretty things up. So how can you sell things painted and put on tassels and starch it? Our Mishnah said you can't pretty something up to sell it. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha habachadeti habatiki." No, that when something's new, like you're selling, you're an arrow merchant. That was one of the things there, right? So you can paint the arrows and make them look nice because people will pay more for a nice looking arrow. But if it's old and all you're doing is you're putting lipstick on the pig and you're painting it up and now people are going to think it's brand new but it's not brand new, then you can't. So again, it doesn't mean, like, if you have something that's old and you're going to paint it, that's not a problem as long as people can tell that it's old. The idea is that you're not tricking people by making something old look new and then people are going to buy it thinking they're buying something new. Okay. Pirkas de adam mahi. So it said we don't pretty up a person or an animal or kalim. So what does it mean to pretty up a person? So Gemara says an interesting story. Ki hada hu avda saba. There was this old Eved, he was a guy. The Azal, and he realized it's not good for his marketability if he looks like an old guy. So he went and save la racial dikne. And he dyed his hair and his beard black. Asa lakame de Rava, he went in front of Rava and he said, Amrle, he said to Rava, Zivnin, buy me, I'm an Eved. So very interesting. Rava said to him, Amrle, Rava said, the Mishnah Nava says, Yiu aniyim b'nei beischa, that the poor people should be members of your household. How did Rava understand? This is a very contemporary relevance. He said that if they're poor people, you should give them a job. So Rava said that in my house, I have work to be done. So instead of my buying Eved Kenani, who's going to do the work, I'd much rather hire Jews and they'll do the work and that way they have Parnassah. Very beautiful. So Rava didn't want to buy the Eved because he said, I only hire Jews. Also, the comment of Rav Papa so the Eved said, okay, Rava's not buying me. He went to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. He said, Zavni, you should buy me. Zavni, and in fact, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel bought him. Okay, Yom Echad, a little while later, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel says to his Eved Kenani that he bought, Amalei, Ashkan Maya, bring me water. I'm thirsty. So the Eved decided, I've had it with this guy telling me he wants water. He whitened his hair and his beard. What does that mean? He washed out the dye. And now he was white-haired again. He was an old guy. Amrlei, he said to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, Chazid ana kashish me'avuch. I'm even older than your father. You have to have respect for me. You can't send me to go get water. Because even a guy who's old, you have to have respect for. So he said, I'm not getting you water. I'm an old guy. You can't make me get you water. So Kari Anafshe, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said about himself, he paraphrased the pasuk from Mishle. He said, Tzadik mitzar nechlatz, a tzadik is saved from misfortune. Who was that? That was Rava, because Rava was a tzaddik, because he only wanted to hire Jews. So he was saved from the misfortune of ending up with this Eved. V'yava achar tachtav, someone else comes beneath him, that's me. I ended up with this Eved, because I wasn't makbid like Rava to only hire Jews, and I bought an Eved Kenani. Hadron Allah Chazav. Okay. Ezeu Neshech. We now start this next parak. It's a complicated parak. Deals extensively with the halachas of ribbis. Let me give a very brief introduction to something because it will make it easier to understand the Gemara as we go. We've encountered this a few times actually in Bava Metzia already, and one of the two exceptions to the rule we've also encountered, which is the idea that if you are going to make a futures contract, that is a problem of ribbis. So if I tell you that for $100 I'm going to buy a bushel of wheat in 2 months from now, right? That is a problem because maybe the value of wheat, so right now a bushel of wheat is $100. I tell you I'm going to buy it for $100 in the future. The problem is if that bushel of wheat goes up in price, then I'm, in other words, when, so I'm giving the guy money today. I'm giving him $100. He has my money. He can use that money. When he gives me a bushel of wheat in 2 months, if that bushel of wheat is worth $110, he's essentially, I gave him $100 for 2 months, he's giving me back $110, right? So that's ribbis, that's interest. Okay? So that's why, essentially, futures contracts are not allowed under the halachas of ribbis. We've talked about it in the context of saw b'saw. That, in other words, I'll give you a saw now, you give me a saw later, it might go up in value. We've talked about that. This is a similar idea, but here we're talking about actual money. There's two exceptions to this rule. One is, and this is the exception we encountered previously, the exception to Sabasa is Yeshlo, if he has it. In other words, if at the time I give him $100 for a bushel of wheat 2 months from now, but he has a bushel of wheat in his possession now, he could sell it to me now also. So that's why someone who's a merchant generally has it in his thing. So you could sell futures. Why? Because essentially, I bought that bushel of wheat that's by him now, and then if it increases in cost to $110 and I get it 2 months from now, it's my bushel of wheat that's increased in cost because he had it and then he's going to give it to me later. Okay, so that's one exception is if the guy actually has it in his possession. The other thing is if you're buying something that's really a commodity product and it's just everyone sells it for that even if he doesn't have it. So if everyone knows it's $100 for a bushel of wheat, I could give him $100 today for even though he doesn't have the bushel of wheat, for him to give me the bushel of wheat in 2 months. Why? Why can I do that? I can do that because if he wanted to go right now and buy the bushel of wheat, he would buy the bushel of wheat, and then he could give me that bushel of wheat in 2 months. So therefore, since essentially he could go buy it, it's as if he bought it, and it's as if he had it, and therefore it's not a case of ribbis. Now this is all ribbis drabanon, as we're going to see very shortly. The idea, ribbis d'araisa, is if you lend someone money or an item and you get back more of that. Ribbis d'rabanan has to do with cases where essentially you benefit largely by fluctuations in the market. It's not where someone's paying you more, it's just you're ending up with more. So in theory, if I pay $100 now to the guy, he's not paying me back $110, it's just that the bushel of wheat that he sold me is going to end up increasing by $10, and that's going to be like ribbis, and that's ribbis drabanan. Okay, so important to understand. In order to understand the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to describe to us what's marbis, and that's that introduction is important. Okay, ezeu neshech ve'ezeu tarbis. What is neshech and what is tarbis? So there is the Torah uses different languages for interest. So we there's three words that we're going to encounter a lot: neshech, tarbis, marbis, ribbis. That's four, I guess, but tarbis and marbis are really the same thing. That there's different words, and we're going to try and figure out what they mean. The way the Gemara understands the source of the words neshech and marbis, the way the Mishnah understands it, neshech is like nashach, to bite. It's saying, I'm biting back from that guy more than I gave him. So I gave him $100, he's giving me $110, I'm biting $10 from him, I'm biting it back from him. Marbis is I'm adding on. So I gave him 100, he's giving me back 110. Okay, so therefore, what is neshech and what is tarbis? Ezeu neshech, what's neshech? Hamal v'sela behe dinrin. A sela is worth 4 dinar. So if I borrow from someone a sela, which is worth 4 dinarim, but I make up, I'm going to give you back hey dinrin, that's a classic, I'm going to give you back 5 dinars, that's a classic case of ribbis. So sayim chitim b'shalosh, or I give you 2 saw of wheat, and you have to give me back 3, that's ribbis. Aser mipnei shun noshech. That's aser because he is biting back. So that's a case of neshech. Vezel tarbis. What's tarbis? Harmar bebeperos. Mar bebeperos is what I was telling you before about ribbis drabanan. So it's not where someone pays him more, but he's ending up with more of an item because the price went up. So ketzad. So that's marbis. How does that work? Lokach hemenu chitim bedinar zav akor. So he bought from him wheat. A core worth of wheat for a dinar zav, which is 25 which is 25 silver dinrim, right? Now, I just finished telling you that if you sell someone, and what did he say? Rashi explains, why did he do this? He said, I'm buying from you a core worth of wheat for 25 dinrim, and I'm gonna come take it from you incrementally whenever I need it. Right? So what's he ending up with? So this is a problem. I just finished telling you that you cannot buy a future contract to say, I'm gonna pay you today the price of a core of wheat, which is 25 dinrim, and I'm gonna get it from you over time because maybe the value is gonna go up. But why is he able to do it? V'chein ashar. That's the price. It's a commodity. So I told you, that's the second exception to the rule. So the Mishnah so far is describing something that's permissible. I can pay someone 25 dinrim today for a core worth of wheat over the next X months because it's a commodity, and even though he doesn't have it today, he could go buy it. Amdu chitin belamed dinrim. So meanwhile, in fact, the value of chitin went up, and it's now worth 30 dinrim as opposed to 25. So Amar lo, I said to him, Tain li chitai shani rotze lemachrin likach ben yayin. Give me my 30 dinrim of wheat right now because I want to go buy wine. So meanwhile, this guy didn't have wheat. Because remember, he sold it to me in the beginning thinking he'll have wheat when I come to him. So what does he say to me? Amar lo, he says to him, Hare chitecho asuyas olai b'shloshim. That fine. Your wheat, you're owed 30. We're going to set the price at 30. V'hare lecha etzli behen yayin. And instead, so you wanted wine so that you could have wine over the next thing. I'm going to switch what I owe you. I owe you now 30 dinrin of wheat, even though I sold you 25, but the value's gone up to 30. So we'll lock in the price of 30. And now I'm going to tell you that I'm going to give you 30 dinrin worth of wine, right? So now what's he doing? He's taking an item worth 30, and he's saying, I'm going to give you an item worth 30 over time, but what might happen? That might go up. So now, And for reasons that we're not going to get into the price being a commodity here. Now the Gemara is going to talk about that. But the Mishnah finishes, V'yayin ain lo, but he doesn't have wine. So therefore, he's essentially doing a futures contract. And the exceptions that he, either if it's a commodity price or he has it, doesn't apply because he doesn't have it. That's an example of marbis. You're enhancing what you have, right? So this is a case of ribis d'rabanan. So that's the difference between neshach and marbis. The Gemara says, "Min d'shavak l'ribis d'raisa v'kama farish d'rabanan." From the fact, what did we do here? We were trying to explain neshach and tarbis, right? So we explained neshach as a classic case of interest. I give you $100, you give me back $105. When we came to marbis, to explaining tarbis or marbis, what did we do? We brought ribis d'rabanan. This idea of a futures contract was only ribis d'rabanan. So it says, from the fact that you left ribis d'oraisa and you're explaining ribis d'rabanan, it implies that, that mid'oraisa, neshach, and tarbis are the same thing. Because if neshach and tarbis are two different things, mid'oraisa, then the Mishnah should have explained, here's what neshach means, and here's what tarbis means. But from the fact that it didn't, and in Neshach it gave me D'oraisa, and in Tarbis it gave me D'rabanan, must be that the first case is, I give you $100, you give me $105, that's both Neshach and Tarbis. So the Gemara is going to ask why, or explain why I would use both terms if it means the same thing. And then the Mishnah was separately explaining Ribis D'rabanan. So it says it must be that Neshach and Tarbis are the same things. So the Gemara says, well, Kreik Sivi Neshach Kesef Ribis Ochel. He says, you see various psukim where it uses the word Neshach and it uses the word, uses the word Neshach and Tarbis. So they must mean two things. So well, what do they mean? So the Gemara says, "V'tizbra the ikon neshach below tarbis, v'tarbis below neshach." Do you really think that there's such a thing as neshach without tarbis, or tarbis without neshach? They are the same thing. There's no such thing. So the Gemara is going to now demonstrate that there's no such thing as neshach without tarbis. The way the Gemara is going to understand this is as follows: neshach means I'm biting something back from you. I'm getting back from you something more than I gave you. Tarbis is that my assets are being increased through what's going on here. That's how we are understanding the distinction, and we're going to try and find the case where you have one and not the other. So neshach below tarbis. How could you have neshach without tarbis? Hechidami. How would it be? Either osfei meya b'meya v'esrim. So he says as follows, that maybe the case is where I lend him $100 in exchange, 100 prutos, which are copper, in exchange for 120 copper prutos. So I tell him, I'm going to give you 100 prutos, you give me back 120. Now that, right now, sounds like ribis d'oraisa. But what happens, that in the meantime, meikara kaimi meya bedanka. Right now, at the time I do this transaction, that a danka, let's just call it a dollar, consists of 100 prutos. Ulubasov kaimi meya v'esrim bedanka. That at the end of this transaction, it's worth 120. So what happened? So I said, I'm going to give you 100, you give me back 120. But when the time came later, 120 had the same value as 100 did at the beginning of the transaction. So we say, Neshech Ika, he's biting off more than he gave him. Why? The Kanakis lay, he's biting from him, the Kashako mine midi de lo yoiv, because he's taking from him something he didn't give. Why? Because I gave 100, I get back 120. So that's Neshech. I bit back 20. The Tarbis Leka, but there's no Tarbis, the less lay Revacha. The Leslie Ravacha, because there's no profit. I'm not better off financially. The Danka Osve, because I lent him a dollar, because at that time, 100 putas were worth a dollar. The Danka Kashokomine, and I took back from him a dollar because at the time he paid me back that it was worth 120. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, this is a case of Neshech without Tarbis. Why? Because there's Neshech in the sense that I've bitten back from him 20 prutos more than I lent him. Because I gave him 100, I got 120. So technically, I'm getting more prutos. But my financial position has not been improved because I lent him a dollar worth of prutos and I got back a dollar worth of prutos because the value of a dollar went up in the interim. So the Gemara says, No, it doesn't work like that. So, at the end of the day, e baser mei kara azlat, hare neshech, hare tarbis. So the Gemara is saying as follows. You can't, ignore the exchange for purposes of making this demonstration. So if you're going after what was the transaction at the beginning, was, I'm gonna give you 100, you're gonna give me 120. I thought I was gonna be getting 20% interest, right? So in that case, that's both neshech and tarbis. Because I'm biting back 20, and my financial position is being enhanced. Because I'm giving you something 100, and I'm getting back something worth 120, and I'm assuming that the price is going to stay constant. Ibas or sof azlos, if you want to look at the end of it and saying take into account the exchange rate, then lo neshech like tarbisika. There's neither neshech or tarbis. Why? Because at the end of the day, I gave you a dollar, I'm getting back a dollar. So you have to look at it consistently. You can't say that for purposes of neshech, we'll take into account the exchange rate, we won't take into account the exchange rate, and we'll say, I gave him 100, I'm getting 120, but for purposes of tarbis, we'll say it's the same value. You can't do that. Either take into account the exchange rate or not. Vesu, tarbis v'lo neshech hechidami, and so there's no such thing as neshech without tarbis. Maybe there's tarbis without neshech. How would that work? Ida ozev meya b'meya. So he says as follows, I'm going to lend you 100, but you're going to give me back 100. So this is like sub is sub, really, but it's dealing with money. So meikara kaimi meya bedanka. When I did this transaction, 100 prutos made a dollar. Ulubasov meya b'chumsha. That a danka is a sixth of a dinar. So now we're saying now it's a fifth. So therefore, the 100 prutos are now more valuable than they were at the time we did it. So ibasar may karo azos lo nashach. So he's saying as follows: if you look at the beginning, there's no. So he says as follows. So here's the deal. So he says this is a case where there's tarbis but no neshech. Why? Because the neshech is I told him here I'm giving you 100. You give me back 100. So I'm not biting back any more than I gave you. Right? So there's no neshech, but there is tarbis because at the end of the day, I gave him 100 and it was worth a sixth of a dinar and he's giving me back 100 when it's worth a fifth of a dinar. So it's more valuable. So you see a case of marbis without neshech. So the Gemara says no. Ibasar me kara azos lo neshech ikav lo tarbis. If you're going to look at the beginning and say 100 for 100, I lent 100, I got 100 at the same value, so then there's neither neshech or tarbis. Ibasar sof azos. If you're going to take into account the exchange rate, Hare neshech, hare tarbis. There's both neshech and tarbis because at the end of the day, I gave you something worth a sixth of a dinner and I'm getting something worth a fifth of a dinner, which is more valuable. So therefore, there's both neshech and tarbis. So Ella Amar Rava says, Iyata motzi lo neshech, lo tarbis, lo neshech. They're the same thing. I can't find you a case where you have neshech and not tarbis or tarbis and not neshech. B'loi chilka nakasav ella lavar lo b'shnei lavim. So why does the Torah use the word neshech and tarbis? Because in order that you should be over on two lavim if you do interest. When you do interest, you're over on two lavim. We're going to see there's actually more lavim than two. But as relates to this pasuk, which says neshech and tarbis, those are really the same thing.